Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
He'll be out the rest of the game, but we'll keep fighting.
Not to be denied.
Both these running backs for these two teams have been real bright spots.
Loses the ball. Touchdown, Raekwon McMillan. Hit as he let it go, and he's picked. And another takeaway by this New England defense. Touchdown. You never know who's going to step up. That'll do it. Here tonight, the New England defense, one touchdown scored and only one touchdown allowed.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPNU were presented by Progressive Insurance. Morning, Key.
Hey, well, morning again to you too, buddy.
Hey!
Hey,
top of the hour to you.
Yes.
Kyler Murray carted off the field with a knee injury. It looks like an ACL. In fact, the sources tell ESPN it's, quote, little doubt that it's an ACL. He's carted off in a 27-13 loss to the Patriots, where they were winning the game early. Patriots defense came through. Non-contact injury. It was less than 90 seconds into the game, Monday Night Football. He's scheduled to undergo further tests on Tuesday, including an MRI, but as I said, little doubt that it's torn. About the eight, that was referring to the ACL, source tells ESPN. The question is this. How does this injury affect Cliff Kingsbury's future? We had Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, on with us earlier this morning, and he said the following.
Unfortunately, guys, it kind of looked like the end of an era last night. It was a devastating injury, third snap of the game, and Cliff Kingsbury just looked like it was over last night, just his body language, and that typically is what happens. You have a primetime loss, your season's over, and they're going to have to really think long and hard is who's the best person on the planet to coach Kyle Murray going forward. They gave him a massive extension in the offseason. He's not going anywhere for another year or two, but based on my experience, I'm not so sure Kyle Murray will be ready for opening day next year. He could easily go on PUP, meaning he's not eligible for the first 6 weeks. So a lot to unpack there for Arizona.
Key, your thoughts.
On which part? Who could be the next what's coach the top, him up?
Yeah, what's the top thought? What do you have to say about this? We can get into the specifics of the next coach later, but what's the first reaction?
Of all, I'm glad Kyler Murray got his money. Okay, mm-hmm. That's first and foremost. It's too important for guys out there that's playing on with these contracts and trying to figure out their long-term futures. But the Cardinals took care of business before the start of the season, so I'm glad he got his contract squared away. Now, in terms of play, Kyler Murray probably won't be ready, in all honesty, to even become close to where Kyler Murray is. If in fact, it is an ACL injury, probably to the 2024 season. Right. So you are punting on the 2023 season with him at the quarterback spot, because you figure he's got to have surgery at the end of the year, start of the year, he's having surgery. So that thing's going to take him 7, 8, 9 months. And then he's got to do football acclimated things. He's got to start to run and cut, beat Kyler Murray. That's going to take a long time to take shape. So you might as well get him ready for 2024. Don't rush him back at all, because what's he going to do? Come back in 9 games left in the season and Kyler Murray's going to be a miracle to take you to the playoffs when your team is basically old and depleted? I mean, you got a little bit of older guys on that roster now. Then in terms of the head coaching, it's a little bit of an excuse for Cliff Kingsbury, so to speak, because they have been people in and out of the lineup. There's been some injuries along the way. But if I'm the owner, I'm evaluating the general manager and the head coach, because I expect for you to put a team out there to compete regardless to what the roster may look like week in and week out. I'm paying you a lot of money to compete. And quite frankly, Arizona hasn't been doing that in quite some time. So it would be one of those situations where now I'm probably thinking of moving on and starting all over again, even though I just gave you a contract that I could swallow and not worry about.
Yes, no cap hit no cap hit on a contract for a coach. It's easier to there's no dead cap hit. You just got to pay the deal.
And what's so crazy about it is I got a team in the Carolina Panthers with Steve Wilks. Now, mind you, he's been gone from Arizona now for several years, but he's got a team as an interim head coach with a depleted roster.
Yeah, they've been playing well.
Fighting and scrapping. It could win the division.
Without McCaffrey, by
without
the way.
Without McCaffrey, yeah. So to speak. And Robbie Anderson and a host of other players.
So if it is the end of an era, as Mike Tannenbaum said it looked like, and now you're saying, yeah, that very well may be at the end of this season, what do they do with D-Hop, DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best hands I've ever seen at the – this dude does not drop passes, right? He's the kind of receiver we talk about when we say, I'd love to see Lamar get a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. What do they do with DeAndre Hopkins?
Oh, man, what do they do with DeAndre Hopkins? I don't know what his money situation is and what their situation is as a team, no max. So if they made a decision that they're going to move on for Cliff Kingsbury, A.J. Green is a little bit older. You know what Hollywood Brown is. DeAndre Hopkins is there. Zach Hurts is coming off an injury at the tight end spot. So you all banged up, right? You all banged up. Mm-hmm. Can you get younger at the receiver position and move on in a trade partner with DeAndre Hopkins so he can go on to a team at the end, toward the end of his career, that he can still help and contribute to winning a championship?
And I'd love to see him on the Ravens.
Because he needs to go to a team so he can win a championship. Because they're not winning one in Arizona anytime soon.
By the way,
I don't care if Sean Payton goes there. I don't care who goes there. They're not winning a championship anytime soon. So if I'm DeAndre Hopkins, I probably want to go to a team that I can help and I can contribute and I can win a championship or put myself in a position to win a championship. That was the one thing that I hated the most for Larry Fitzgerald in his career, was being buried in Arizona. And for many years, he could have just waited and waited and waited to another team to come and get him. There was a once upon a time he could have been with the New England Patriots. Imagine how many championship rings Larry Fitzgerald would have on his hands had he gone on and went to New England instead of staying loyal to the Phoenix Cardinals.
Speaking of the New England Patriots, Mike Reese, ESPN Patriots reporter with us now. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Morning. Remember that, Mike, when Larry Fitzgerald rumors were swirling that the New England Patriots could be a suitor for him?
I do remember it, Keyshawn. There used to be a funny thing on social media where people said, I think I saw him over at the airport. You know, is this Larry Fitzgerald? And it was a picture of someone at the rental car counter, you know, saying, I think he's in town. Bill Belichick and Larry Fitzgerald have a lot of respect for each other. I think that was part of what sort of made those rumors percolate as well.
Well, Mac Jones looked promising as a rookie with Josh McDaniels as the offensive coordinator. Under Matt Patricia, has not looked the same. What do you think of his performance last night? What can you tell us, Mike?
Max, I thought he hung in there, given the circumstances. I mean, he's without his leading receiver, Jacoby Myers, who didn't play in the game. He loses his leading running back, Ramondre Stevenson, with an ankle injury in the first half. Down one offensive tackle. They've put a lot on his plate. You know, and he hung in there 24 of 35 for 235 yards, no touchdowns, the one interception when his arm was hit. Look, it's far from eye-popping statistics, but I would say he was probably lower on the list of problems that they were having offensively last night, in my view.
Yeah, he certainly was on the lower list of problems for them from an offensive standpoint. But I don't know why I'm not completely buying into the Mac Jones. I know last year he went to the Pro Bowl, Mike, but I don't put any stock in the Pro Bowls. You could be the 99th alternate and make it to a Pro Bowl. I don't care about that. He had a nice percentage in terms of completion percentage. Yes, he didn't push the ball nearly down the field. A lot of it was screens and checkdowns. He became Charlie Checkdown as a rookie. But I don't see the growth that I want to see in Mac Jones this year. Is that because you got a new offensive coordinator and McDaniels is gone, or is it just he is who he's going to be? This is what we're going to get.
So I would lean towards the first part, Keyshawn, and obviously that story is going to be written in time. And I keep referring to the whole example with Tua in Miami, right? Like if we had this discussion about him last year, might probably a much different discussion than we would have with him right now, even though he struggled the last couple weeks, right? And so I think people like Kurt Warner, Matt Hasselbeck, that I've talked to, said, you know what, I'm going to reserve judgment on Mac Jones because of all these other factors around him this year, the change in offense. And I want to see another year, you know, before I make that sort of more declarative statement on what type of quarterback Mac is.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I thought that was a big game in the legacy of Bill Belichick yesterday. And I say that because he is now in year 9 without Tom Brady. He has one playoff win. Most coaches who've coached 9 years have more than one playoff win, right? Now, with Brady, he's the greatest coach of all time. Without Brady, his record is what it is. I mean, he won 11 games with Matt Castle. They did not make the playoffs. That's just a I'm just talking facts. With Cleveland, he made the playoffs once, won a game. He has been without Tom Brady. He's in year 3. No playoff wins. Well, he got to the rookie and blah, blah. He's also the GM. Come on, man. Like, yeah. It's all on him. So, yesterday was a big game. You can't fall down to an Arizona Cardinal team you ought to beat, right? Especially once Kyler went out and they started losing. I thought that was a big win for these Patriots and for Bill Belichick. Is there any sense of that in New England, that was like a must-win game last night?
That was, Max, a big topic of conversation in New England, just in terms of what would this look like if they didn't win the game? You know, could the bottom fall out? And then is there a conversation to be had on what's going to happen in 2023, you know, with Belichick and the team? So it was, but I would say that's more media driven. And I wanted to add one other thing on this whole conversation about Belichick without Brady, because your facts are, you can't dispute them. They're the facts. But I do think there's some important context. You know, part of that was his time in Cleveland. And you go back to that 91 to 95. I mean, the owner moved the team out of the city in his final year. Like, I think people would tell you he actually had that program going in the right direction. And then when the owner decides to move the team, Max, it's like, you know, and the players are thinking, what do we do now? Like, I don't know any coach that could keep that together. So I don't know. Sometimes there's a story within the numbers that maybe, Mike, I would add to that. I've been trying to tell him this for the longest.
Wait, he doesn't want to listen.
Wait, you guys, let me be very clear. When I highlight the fact that he is in year 9 with only one playoff win without Brady, I'm actually not suggesting he's not a great coach. Based on his coaching resume, I agree that if you contextualize the facts with Belichick as coach without Brady, he's still an excellent coach, right? Like, I agree with that. I'm simply saying his legacy was, for a time, undisputed greatest of all time. And now he may be the greatest of all time. I just think that it's an argument again. It's open for discussion. Yep. There are lots of other great coaches. And you know, yet if he wins a Super Bowl without Brady, he probably does end those conversations. I don't know. I'm not saying I hope it happens or it doesn't happen. I'm just curious. Hey, Mike, we still can't believe it. But some of the folks, you know, we've been giving away $10,000 a day. For 20 days, we gave away what we thought was $10,000 a day during the KJ 10K a day giveaway. So, Mike Reese, ESPN Patriots reporter, we have to give some money away, some more money away right now. Listen to this.
Let's do it.
Some of the folks who won those $2,500 prizes didn't claim them. We picked another 14 people at random from everyone who entered the 10K a day contest, and we're going to call them today and give them $2,500 each. And right now, the winner, Christy in North Carolina, tell me you're by your phone and you've won this
$2,500. I'm here.
Awesome. Who's your favorite team?
My boyfriend is going to kill me, but I'm a Cowboys fan. He's a 49ers fan.
He's a Niners fan. He's a good man. You less so. Okay. Hey, listen. So how do you wind up listening to KJM?
Him. He's the one that turned me on to the radio show.
Good man. As I said, good boyfriend. You got it. You got a real guy there. All right. Listen, Christy, how are you going to spend this money?
On my kids.
Look at
Christmas
that.
Is coming up, and they got some pretty big list.
Mm. Can you what a gift this
you see what
is
we
giving.
Doing? You see what we doing, Mike? We
I making, love it.
We
I
making
love
families
it.
Happy around the holidays
yes,
and Christmas
you are.
Time.
We're going to have some excited kids around here.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you guys were able to pick up this money and Max was able to go back into the bank and get a loan without having any guarantees, any collateral.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. That's what we try to do, Mike. We try to liven it up around here. Give a little money away, buddy.
Yeah, indeed.
I love it. That was great.
Indeed. Hey, Mike,
great way to do it.
Before we let you go, we're about to talk about Tom Brady and how he's looked so far.
Oh, God.
Have you heard anything around Patriot Way about Tom Brady recently? Is he on anybody's lips recently?
Well, people talking about what he might do next year, you know, and like to the line of your questioning about Mac Jones and, you know, what his ceiling is, what his future is, the whole hypothetical scenario of in what, you know, would it be a storybook ending if Brady ever ended up back here? But I would say internally, guys, like I haven't heard a thing. Like I tell you, they're all in on Mac.
Appreciate it. Mike Reese, ESPN Patriots reporter, as always. Key, let's talk Tom Brady. How much blame does he deserve for the Bucs' struggles this season? Tom Brady, on his Let's Go podcast with Larry Fitzgerald and Jim Gray on Sirius XM, listen to him talk about why they lost yesterday.
I was responsible for two of the turnovers that were terrible throws. I missed Mike opening the end zone for a touchdown, missed Scotty down the field, so... You know, just look at myself and realize I got to do a lot better than that in order to win. It was a tough loss, long flight home, shitty night's sleep, as you would expect. So just dealing with it today and going to try to, as all these weeks are, they get to be short weeks when you're this time of the year. But, you know, just going to keep battling.
All right, Key, I've asked, is Bill Belichick coaching himself out of the GOAT position? Is Russell Wilson playing himself out of the Hall of Fame? Let me ask you this. Is Tom Brady
playing his way out of the Hall of Fame?
No. Tom Brady.
Please don't say that.
No, of course not. Listen, you know, I may be crazy, but I'm not stupid. Has Tom Brady played himself out of a landing spot next year?
Tom Brady's landing spot should be retirement.
That's what I'm asking, man.
Yeah, he should just retire. What does he need to play for anymore?
You think GMs around the league are thinking that?
Man, come on, man. He needs to retire. I get it. We love him. He looks great. He can come from behind. All that, man, retire, man. There's no need to keep playing football. There is no need for him to continue to keep playing. At some point, we're going to get tired of even talking about him in a minute.
But if you still got it in you, if you can still play, that's what I'm asking. You're looking at him.
Yeah, right now he might be a progress stopper, to be honest with you, somebody.
So do you think he's played himself out of a landing spot next year?
Where would he go play?
The Jets.
Give me a landing spot.
The Jets.
For what? Do what? What is he going to do for the Jets?
So not the Jets. What about, let's say, it wouldn't be the Seahawks, I suppose, right? Let's say the Cardinals need a quarterback next year.
Why would he want to go to the Cardinals?
Because they're no good, right? He'd have to go to a situation where they're ready to win.
Go to the Cardinals and do what? Golf in Arizona? Okay.
Where would? So that's what I'm saying. So,
like, where is he going? That's what I'm saying.
Words,
Max, there's nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to go because he needs it set up a certain way.
You got
to
have it set up a certain way.
There's nowhere to go for Tom Brady.
Where are you going? You're going to all of a sudden land him in New Orleans? New Orleans team will be a different team next year.
Yeah, but New Orleans would be interesting.
It'll be a different team, though. There's no Sean Payton coaching him. It's a different team.
The Indianapolis Colts?
You want to do that again?
You think it's the same as Matt Ryan?
You want to go Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, and Matt Ryan. You get older and older as time goes by with the quarterbacks.
What you're saying, though, Key... is Brady's not good anymore. That's what it sounds like.
He's not good enough for a situation not to be perfect. And there's no place for him to go. He can't go to Buffalo. He can't go to Minnesota. Like, where's he going?
Look, I can't stop being wrong about Tom Brady, right? First, way before anyone, he's going to fall off a cliff. Then he had a Hall of Fame career since then. Now everyone is saying, okay, he's cooked. And I'm like, not so sure.
No, I don't think, oh, God, what a highlight. I don't think he's cooked. But in the end, it's got to be perfect.
All right.
Like perfect situations are for him would be like the Chargers. Like, he's not going to the Rams. It would be like the Chargers. They got a quarterback. Philadelphia. They run a different style offense. They got a quarterback. Dallas, they got a quarterback. Minnesota, they got a quarterback. Green Bay, they got a quarterback.
Well, Minnesota, wait. Minnesota, if they tighten up that defense.
They sitting, man, they sitting at, what's Minnesota's record? What are they, 10-3 or something like that?
Key, we know what that is. Come on.
But that's 10-3.
Keyshawn Johnson.
No.
Joseph Keyshawn Johnson.
He fits perfect for what they want to do.
All right, let's stick with the Bucks then. Are they one and done this year? They're going to make the playoffs because the division's weak, and then they get bounced in the first round?
If they make the playoffs.
Right,
because Carolina controls their own destiny. All they got to do is win out.
Well, the odds to win the division, we're looking at it. The Bucks are minus 300. They're the big favorites. Carolina's plus 375.
Yeah, because they still stuck on who Tom Brady is.
And you don't think he's Tom Brady anymore.
He sure ain't looked like in the last couple weeks except that one drive in the end.
Are the Cowboys relying too much on Dak?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I know that I can play the game. The body of work speaks for itself.
Young stumbles on the way back and fires up the middle. Pass is caught by Owens.
Romo back 5 steps and fires it down to Owens. Open at the 5 and in for the touchdown.
He's going deep looking for Terrell Owens downfield. Makes the catch into the end zone. Touchdown, touchdown, Terrell Owens, touchdown.
I mean, they called him selfish heading into the Super Bowl because he was going to play on a hurt leg. And then all he did was go out there and be the best player on the field. Terrell Owens, Pro Football Hall of Fame wide receiver, and the man who ruined that first name for me. See, it's always Terrell. And then you came around, and now it's Terrell. And now I always forget if it's Terrell or Terrell for everyone with that name. So thanks a lot, T.O.
It's Terrell.
Yes, it's Terrell. Yes, I know.
Don't screw it up, Max. Yeah. Say, man, what's this I'm hearing about you wanting to play in the NFL again?
Well, it's not a matter of play. I know I and if you see and you watch the league right now, mounting up, and at the end of the day, obviously, season is pretty much almost over. But I think about the playoffs, able to do or be able to team.
Hey, T.O., we're gonna have to wait until like the connection is bad. So we're skipping, like we're only hearing one out of every other, maybe every third word you're saying. So we're going to work on that. And while we're working on that, Key, I remember when T.O., when he couldn't get a job in the league and I watched him play and thought, man, he could still play. Why is he, you know, like he's better than a lot of dudes who are on rosters. And yet, I don't know, they didn't give him a job.
Yeah, I mean, look, could he have continued to play without people treating him a certain way? Absolutely. But when you get to a certain age and people have a certain view of you and your personality, they scared of that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, could he have been the third receiver for teams and helped them out? Absolutely, 100%. Can he be a third or fourth receiver and help somebody out now? Absolutely, 100%. At his age. At his age, I believe he can. But they're not going to allow him to. They're not going to do that. It takes somebody who understands him. It takes somebody who believes in him, who understands his body of work, and say to themselves, you know what, I want a veteran guy like that that's going to give me 25 plays a game, and I know what he's coming to the table with. And it has to be a coach that's familiar with him. And that's how it is. Like, so for instance, let's say, for instance, I was to get a head coaching job. Mm-hmm. He'd be somebody that I say, man, I need me a veteran guy that
bring
can
in
go
and take
get
a look
it.
At. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with it. But there are guys that are out there that have a problem with a certain style, swag that you come with, and they're afraid of that because they want to be able to control the room and they want to be able to dictate what goes on within the room. And so personalities don't always mesh the way you need them to in these situations.
You ever play on your 7-on-7 team, Key? I know everyone's played on your
7-on-7 team. No, T.O. didn't play on my 7-on-7 team.
You know the whole thing with 6 degrees of separation, right? How, like, you can connect any two people on Earth through you know someone who knows someone who – any two people on Earth, right?
Absolutely.
So then there was a game in Hollywood called the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon because he had been in a lot of ensemble casts and you could connect any two actors who ever lived through Kevin Bacon. That's like the 6 degrees of Keyshawn's 7-on-7 team. You connect any two people in football – through Key's 7-on-7 team. Hey, T.O. is back, and we can hear you now, T.O., apparently. So you were saying okay. About trying to make a comeback.
Well, yeah, as I was telling Keyshawn about me wanting to come back and play, it's not the matter of me knowing that you know, that I want to play, but I know I can. You know, it's all about an opportunity to do something that hasn't been done. And for me, number one, I believe. Number two, nobody has my gifts. I know I can play the game. I tried to dispel the notion that that I couldn't take a hit. I played in the FCF for about 8 weeks, so that was about 2 months. I did that. I raced some guys. I showed the speed. So it's not a matter of me not
being able to do it. Hey, Tio, what was your 40 time again? Didn't you just put up a 40, some stupid 40 time?
Yeah, it was on the 4.5. It was like a 4.4 something. But I just heard Keyshawn say, I mean, it has to be the right opportunity. To go in and obviously play a number of snaps to be able, and at that time too, help mentor some guys at the same time, and then obviously, like I said, be able to help a team get them over the hump and help them win the championship.
Yeah, and when you think about these sort of things, though, Max, can he look, man? I hadn't seen him run and catch in a long time, but I'd bet any amount of money he's better than some 4 and 5 receivers
right.
That are on teams right now. There's no doubt in my mind that he's better than 4 and 5 receivers on a number of teams in the National Football League right now.
T.O., have you heard from any teams?
What's that?
Have you heard from any teams?
Yes, I have an agent at the moment, Gregory Daniel. He's been reaching out to a few teams. We've gotten a few messages back here and there. And so for me, it's just a matter of just staying ready. I've been going out to Thousand Oaks, Oak Park, working out with a couple of quarterbacks and some receivers. I've been doing that. I'll do that again this morning. My son is in town, so I'm helping train him. He'll be a senior next year at Missouri State. So, again, just keeping my body moving. And like I said, just waiting. You know, if the opportunity arises, then I'll be ready.
So, yeah, in – when you look at the league right now, T.O., you got five former teams that are headed into the playoff stretch. The Cowboys, the Eagles, the Niners, the Bills,
right.
And Cincinnati. I believe those are the five that you played with.
Right, absolutely.
Out of those teams, man, which one you think has the best chance at winning the Super Bowl?
Oh, wow. I would probably have to say Buffalo. If you look at, you know, what they've been able to do, obviously the last couple of years and barely, they just barely missed it last year. I think out of those, as you just mentioned, I think Buffalo probably has a good and the best chance to making it back. Also, obviously, you saw how well the Cincinnati Bengals played toward the stretch of the year, but obviously health plays a big key in that. We all know that. And so, obviously, maybe, you know, like I said, if Josh can stay healthy, then they definitely have a good chance.
So
Terrell Owens, Pro Football Hall of Fame wide receiver, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and, of course, we can't ever forget about you, Max.
So what do you think about the Cowboys right now, one of your former teams,
right?
And they're poking around at these receivers. I know you're looking for some NFL work, right? But they bring in T.Y. Hilton. How seriously should they consider bringing in Odell?
I think they've explored that option. I think obviously with the pickup of T.Y. Hilton, I think that kind of, you know, kind of basically solidified, you know, I guess where they were going to go with that move. So again, obviously he's out there. I think everybody knows now, I think there may be some questions as if he's healthy enough to play. So I think that's the number one factor with OBJ. So right now he's still shopping his services, and I think at the end of the day, I think they made their move to solidify or at least fill that spot for a receiver with T.Y.
When you look at the NFL and you look at the quarterback position, now obviously the MVP trophy is up for grabs, so to speak. Early on, coming out the gate, it was Josh Allen. Oh, Josh Allen, the greatest quarterback. He won 12 Super Bowls already. He's better than Patrick Mahomes. Then he beats Patrick Mahomes. He somewhat disappeared from the conversation. Oh, Tua, come back. Tua's the best. Keyshawn's hating on Tua. He doesn't like Tua. He hates on Tyreek Hill. Okay, well, we don't have to have that conversation anymore. Now, Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes are neck and neck. Who do you have winning the MVP trophy between Hurts and Mahomes right now?
Well, at the beginning of the season, I told guys that I foresaw Jalen Hurts, you know, really contending to really be that guy. For me, you look at the maturation process of where he is now versus where he was last year toward the end of the season. I think they would have gone even deeper and further in the playoffs last year had he had the weapons that he has now. So you see what he's doing this year. You know, like I said, I don't see them neck and neck. Obviously, like I said, you know, Patrick Holmes, obviously he does what he does. But if you look at what Jalen is doing on a consistent basis, he's poised. He's making the right reads. He's making the right plays. He's doing it with his arms. He's doing it with his legs, if need be. And he has his team with the best record. So when you think about it, you take Jalen away from this team, then, you know, they're not where they are right now.
Yeah, I've been telling them, man, for the longest, Jalen Hurts. They thought I belonged in the cuckoo house or something. I'm like, man, please, that dude can play.
No. I don't think people thought that when you said that about Geno Smith, Key. Not about Jalen Hurts. About Geno Smith, yes, I thought you were crazy. Jalen Hurts, I was just waiting to see. That is Terrell Owens, the great Terrell Owens, Pro Football Hall of Fame wide receiver. T.O., always great talking to you.
Got to get him back on
the
geese.
Hey, all never right. Say never, guys.
Never say never. I hear you. If Key was a head coach, you'd have a job.
No, 100%. I'll bring him in yesterday.
Yeah. I'm surprised he never played on your 7-on-7 team. Everyone in football's played on your 7. Some people you didn't even know played football, right? Like,
hey, did you know Caleb Whitnough?
Yeah, all types of people. Joe Biden on Key, 7-on-7 deep. Are the Cowboys relying too much on Dak? That's what we're going to talk about coming up. Keyshawn, J. Will.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back.
Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, big guy.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. See now, you slow this up a little bit, put a female vocalist on, he's putting on chapstick. That's how it works. That's how it works. This beat is a little too quick. Not a female vocalist, so Key can just, you know, feel the music, but...
Man, I see Breezy, man. We good?
I'm saying, anytime we play a little R&B and it's a female vocalist, Jay pointed this out. As you would say, Key, Jay labs you and has figured out that whenever there's an R&B song with a female vocalist, you put on chapstick. It's every time.
Yeah, he stay labbing me. Watch every move I make. That's why I'm like, Jay, come on, man. You up on me too much, partner. Back up.
Yo, you know? When we were kids, whenever anyone would do that, right, you'd just be like, yo, you want the videotape? You got the videotape, man? You watching everything
like
I do?
You sitting there like, you working with them folks, man. You all up on me in my space, you know?
Key. Here it is. He's resisting the impulse right now. He's got to fold his arms. See, Key couldn't have it. He had to make sure his arms were crossed because if you're watching on ESPNU, Key immediately folded his arms because they were automatically going to start to reach for the chapstick.
Let me tell you about Jerry Jones and the Cowboy.
There it is. The chapstick came out. He can't help it.
Can't help himself, Max. Check him out.
Man, I got to keep him. You know, the weather changes when you're moving around, so you got to make sure that they stay nice and soft, baby.
Little Sade. Even I am looking like, do I have any on me? All right.
When someone puts lipstick or a chapstick on, everyone else in the room like, hold on, let me make sure my stuff's
cool. I got it. Key, the Cowboys, we just had T.O. on. He's looking to make a comeback.
Yeah.
Cowboys signed T.Y. Hilton, hasn't played this year.
Yeah.
Does this mean anything for Odell Beckham Jr.?
I think it does. I think it means that the Cowboys were looking for somebody that could be their kind of three veteran guy and can lift the coverage, could take some of the heat off the younger guys and CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup and give them some sort of security as they continue to go into a later part of the season and into the playoffs. And T.Y. Hilton certainly has playoff experience. They get to be, you know, get that guy that they're kind of looking for, sort of in the same body frame mold, so to speak, as the OBJ. And I'm sure T.Y. Hilton probably, you know, has some more juice left in the tank. And the number for the number at the beginning of the season for him probably was higher than it is now. And it's an easier sign. And he's a smart veteran player that'll fit right in.
So
I think the OBJ deal is probably off the table at this point.
Yeah, right. Because especially with their prognosis in terms of what his timetable for return is, since coming back from his thumb injury, meantime in Week 7 against Detroit, Dak Prescott, Key, and yes, remember what you were saying, and you were not the only one, but you certainly were saying it, that they need to keep the blueprint that they were using, and I had almost sold you on Cooper Rush keeping his job till he lost. But he eventually did lose, and you were saying, look, they got to take the blueprint, and when Dak gets back, do the same thing you're doing, but now you're going to do it at a higher level because he can make some plays Cooper Rush can't, right? That's what you said.
Yeah, and I changed course from allowing you to you get me caught up.
Yeah.
Once I talked to somebody that was close to the Cowboys situation, and they basically said, "Key, stop it."
Right.
It ain't like that.
Okay.
And they told me everything. That's when I came back and said, "Yeah, it ain't like that."
And then when I hear you say that, and you're talking to people, then I go, "Yeah, maybe I'll change my tune."
Yeah, that's not like that. And since he came back, they're the highest scoring offensive team in the National Football League since Dak's been there. All he has to do is cut down on some of the turnovers and some of the mistakes. And once he does that, then they'll still be rolling.
Ah, are they getting – it's hard to balance what they were doing, like to keep that same thing with Cooper Rush when you could get greedy. You know, like you can get a little – you could do more with Dak, right? So now Dak has thrown 8 interceptions. That's tied with Texans quarterback Davis Mills for the most in the NFL since he's been back.
Basically, 3 interception a week.
Yes, basically. 3 multi-interception games. That's tied with – now it's good company – Josh Allen – for the most in the league. Here's Jerry Jones when he was asked about whether or not he has concerns about Dak's interceptions.
Well, I know what they were doing defensively, and he was seeing some things that give their coaching staff credit, but he was seeing some things that a little different for us. But that's neither here nor there. All my mind is on, totally, is that 98-yard drive to win the game. Hello, Dak Prescott. I know I'm being cute or trying to be cute, but... really, that's what I'm looking at. Completely, that's what I'm looking at. I really wanted to see us come back with as much pressure as we could generate, which we managed to do that today.
Are the Cowboys relying, Key, too much on Dak? Are they starting to trend in that direction and away from the success they had under the Keyshawn Johnson formula of, you know, under 25 or certainly under 30 dropbacks, no interceptions, that whole thing?
No, I don't think so, because if you look at his stat line over the course of those 7 weeks, how many times has he thrown for over 30 yards? I mean, 30 attempts. Twice? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, so they're not getting away from it. I think it's just a situation where the receivers need to help him out. In Green Bay, there was 2 bad routes. One ran by the tight end, it was stacked up too close together. Another was miscommunication on CeeDee Lamb against the coverage. Is it cover 2? Do I do it this way? Or is it cover 1 high? Do I bend it across the face? They get miscommunication. Then when you look at the throws the other day, one off a hand, another one's ill-advised. So it's a little bit of both. It's a little Dak, but it's also the receivers have got to help quarterbacks out in these situations. You know, and so – I don't know that it'll come back to burn them in the end if they don't fix it, because the defense is so good that they can make up for some of the mistakes that the offense creates.
I wonder why. Like okay, so T.O. we had on the show earlier, he wants to make a comeback. He's running a sub 4.5 40 at his age. It's ridiculous. But like they bring in T.Y. Hilton, and it shows you, and we just showed some graphics on ESPN Yuki about their catch percentage, which is near the bottom of the league, that receiver room, right?
Yeah, you got to catch the ball, man. That's what you got to
catch
do.
The ball. They're tied for 15. They're right in the middle of the pack in receiving touchdowns. They're toward the bottom at receiving yards, 23rd out of 32. Receptions, 26th. Catch percentage, to me, is interesting, 24th. They need to improve at receiver, right? And if you're saying Odell's injury, and others are saying Odell's injury really rules him out for the rest of this season, certainly regular season, they bring in T.Y. Hilton. What else can they do?
Well, I think a lot of times in these situations where you bring somebody in like a T.Y. Hilton or OBJ, it will open things up where the receivers can be cleaner. They won't be tight windows. They won't be doubled as much. They won't have bodies around them when other guys are eating. And so, therefore, it will limit the mistakes that's being made, meaning like if a guy drops a football and it bounces off his hands, instead of 3 people being in that area, maybe there's only 1 person in the area. Therefore, the deflection doesn't fall in his arms. Mm-hmm. It just falls to the ground. But when I got 2 people over there, chances are somebody's going to catch the football out of the 3.
That's interesting. So what principle do you derive from that? Like, because people always think like takeaways are kind of random, but you're saying no. There's an underlying kind of thing that makes them.
There's
more
always
likely.
Most of the times with interceptions is people in the area, meaning
right.
Like there's defenders in that area because they're holding on to that receiver to some degree.
How could Kyler Murray's knee injury affect Lamar Jackson's contract negotiation?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app.
Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.